Mitch, we had to do this emergency podcast. We got some big, big things to talk about. And I think you and I both know what we need to get to the bottom of.
The Bachelor.
Yes. How did McKenna and Tammy both steal away him? What? That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's the rose ceremony. Like, he canceled the cocktail ceremony for a reason.
It's so ridiculous. And we won't get into Wednesdays because I'm sure people are behind, but I just finished that one. And, you know, the drama continues. This is my first season of The Bachelor. My fiance got me onto it, so.
All right, back to the real stuff now.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, let's dive straight in. There were nothing but trades by the Timberwolves the past couple of days.
We have a completely new team.
You do this in NBA 2K all the time. Right before the trade deadline, you try to build up your draft and or draft picks. And I know a good friend of mine and I, whenever we do this around the draft time, literally we like sign Kevin Durant or our best player, make sure he's there for 5 years, and then just keep building new teams around. This is what you got to do. But never have we seen anything like this here, that's for sure.
Not at all. Like, just in the history of the Timberwolves, we've usually done nothing at the trade deadline, and it's always been very frustrating. Because, like, it's either we're buyers or sellers. We're not nothing, but every year we wouldn't do anything. But now we have an aggressive front office that Rozas said he'd be aggressive, and like he said, actions speak louder than words, and he was very loud today.
What are your what have your thoughts been on Gers and not only just this past week, but what he's kind of done for the team so far?
I mean, I'm just so pumped about, like, it's definitely with these moves that he made, with him being so aggressive. Like I said, we haven't had anybody like this before. And I was talking to a friend earlier today. I was texting him, and he's a Nuggets fan. And I was saying to him, I legit don't think the Nuggets will be winning a championship with this team because they just aren't aggressive. Like, they drafted well and then they developed the players, but you have to be aggressive. You have to make those moves. And now I see that we have a front office that can make those moves and takes it upon themselves. But not only that, and their aggression, I love the fact that so many players that Rozas signed this summer, he traded. I feel like a lot of GMs might have too much pride to do that. They might like hold on to players longer, be like, no, he'll pan out. Trust me. But Rozas was like, this clearly isn't working. We're going to flip it right now, and we're going to make changes right now. And I really like that, too, that he's able to just admit when things aren't working.
Yeah, the one really cool thing about him is he came in with a mission to try and rebuild this team. We knew it was going to take time. We knew kind of the steps that it was, you know, that had to go through with it. And it was kind of a patient process, but the fact that he has really stepped it up and was aggressive on the D'Lo trade and just aggressive moving everyone. I mean, it's been really cool to see, you know, we've had GMs in the past that won't make moves bad, even when Tibbs was here. You know, sometimes it's the right move at the right time that it ends up not panning out.
But did he make any move that wasn't for his own previous player?
Oh, no, not at all.
Like, he wasn't aggressive for anybody that he didn't already know.
He was recruiting an AAU team, pretty much, is what he was doing.
He's recruiting his old AAU team.
Pretty much. But for Gerson to know what his star player wants, it's one thing for these front offices to accommodate to the star player, right? Because he knew what he wanted. He wanted D'Angelo Russell here. It was, can we get him here? And the fact that he did it, I mean, that alone is incredibly impressive to make the moves. Now, in the long run, we lost a lot of pieces, but we needed just to start over because the duo of Wiggins and Cat was just not working. It just, you know, it would probably never work.
I mean, when you go on two double digits losing streaks before the All-Star game, clearly you need to shake up a lot of things. So it's upsetting that we got attached to some of these players and they're leaving, but like, obviously this had to be done.
Yeah, and for us to, you know, get the pieces we did, we're going to kind of, let's break it down a little bit. So let's talk about the pieces that we got back first. So when I kind of broke it down on Twitter, Malik Beasley was, I think, the best and biggest piece that you and I even talked about, the fact that there is an actual text exchange of us saying, you know, what if we got Malik Beasley and then in return got D'Angelo Russell? We're both like, that's a lot of pieces and whatnot. But the fact that they got him in the trade, I mean, they believe in Gary Harris. Gary Harris is a very talented player, but they really believe in Harris to be the guy. So the fact that
do you mean Jamal Murray?
No, because they've been putting out their
eggs. Oh, you're talking about as in the backup.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay, gotcha.
They've been putting all their eggs in the basket with Gary Harris. And I think they just knew that Malik Beasley was kind of the odd man out, and he's a restricted free agent. And it was smart for us to take a flyer on him, because if he ends up balling out for us, you know, that's a really solid piece we could keep for probably a pretty cheap contract. And then we'll also go ahead.
I mean, it's just like, yeah, we have the bird rights too, which are also important contract wise, that we can sign him over the soft cap without having to dip into any exceptions as well. So like, just to be able to get him now as opposed to waiting for him to become a free agent is very big for us to be able to give him a contract that he probably more wants. It's easier.
Yeah. And then we also grabbed the Atlanta's first round pick, Evan Turner.
We got the Nets' first round pick from Atlanta.
Oh, right, right. And then Evan Turner, who we are probably going to buy out in the long run. At least that's what reports are saying, that we'll buy him out. And then I believe this is how you say his name, Hancho Hernan Gomez. I think that's how you say his first name. I know his last name. And I don't know too much about him. I watched a little bit of highlights. He is he's an athlete. He's a good shooter. He might end up playing. We'll talk about what could be the potential starting lineup in a couple segments from now. But he could play the four. There's always potential in that, but
he's also going to have his contract expire, also restricted free agent as well. Essentially the same type of situation as Malik Beasley contract wise.
And that's where I feel like Gerson was ahead of the game, because if you saw people on Twitter, oh, these trades are awful. Well, no, they're not, because if we end up needing bench depth and all this, that, whatever, we will be able to offer them or whatever match, whatever offer, and they're still on the team.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we can help sign them more, but also we get a very close look at exactly who they are, so we can more confidently make a more fair offer to them and know when we should walk. Mm-hmm. And I know Malik Beasley was offered a 3-year, $30 million contract this past offseason, and he turned that down. But like, just hearing about it, he might go for a little bit more, but he might even just end up settling for 3 years at $30 million, which is not a lot. And the other thing about Malik Beasley is just all the reports, everybody's saying, oh, he's been a very efficient player, very productive player. He just kind of was a little buried on the bench because the Nuggets have so many good assets and so many people that need minutes. And now with Michael Porter Jr. coming up, everyone else is getting less minutes. And a lot of people are saying that if he just gets more time and a more solid role, he could actually become really good. Like I heard some things like Tobias Harris or Eric Bledsoe, or even to a more extreme extent, James Harden, their first teams, they were just kind of riding the bench and were behind some more established players. But as soon as they got traded and got to a more solid role, they became a very solid player and was really productive. So hopefully we can get that with Malik Beasley.
He is one player that I've watched when we got him, and I was really, really excited about him, because a lot of people don't know who he is unless you're kind of like a basketball junkie, I suppose, especially for kind of just casual fans. But he is an athlete. He's crazy with his hops. I've seen some crazy dunks he's put down. But most importantly, he's a shooter, and that's exactly what we need. We need someone to space the floor and shoot.
One comment on him being a shooter. Jamal Murray said that Malik Beasley was the best shooter on the Nuggets. Jamal Murray's a very good shooter, so that's, that's a comforting thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's huge that we just got potentially the Nuggets' best shooter. And so now we'll kind of break down what we gave up. Before we get to the D'Angelo Russell news, let's break down what we gave up.
Wait, D'Angelo Russell? Just kidding.
Yeah. I know, man. It's crazy. I still really can't wrap my head around it because...
As soon as that news came out, I couldn't get any work done.
I couldn't either. I was sitting there refreshing Twitter from like 2 to 3 of like, okay, what else? What's going on? What's new? So exiting players that we had, Rocco, who's going to Houston. Jordan Bell's going to Houston. Shabazz Napier, Noah Vonleh, going to Denver.
Shabazz Napier later got traded to Philadelphia.
I missed that then.
Yeah, it's a smaller trade.
And then Kata Bates-Diop also in Denver. The one I will say I am bummed about Kata. The only thing is he was an awkward fit on this team, and I thought he had potential, but they never really played him as much as I thought he should have been played. This year, obviously, a little bit more because with our depth and whatnot, but still, it was like, you know, he's, I think, in the right system. He's going to be a really, really nice player. Do I think he'd be a starter? No, but I could see a really solid six man for sure.
I think he's going to have a career deeper on the bench, to be honest. I mean, I hope the best for him if he can develop more, but I just can't really see him. He's kind of an awkward, like, what position is he in terms of forward? Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, I kind of more envision him at the end of the bench for his career. I hope he proves me wrong, though.
And then the rest of the guys, you know, the one cool thing that I saw someone tweet about when this was all going down was, you know, the trades that we made, we sent them to playoff contenders for the most part. Like I said, we'll get to the D'Lo trade breakdown in a little bit here. But, I mean, for Jordan Bell and Robert Covington to go to Houston, I mean, Houston can be a title contender depending on who they play against. I don't think they would get past the Clippers or the Lakers, but doesn't mean, I mean, they're still a playoff contender. And then for the other guys to get sent to Denver, I mean, they're a solid playoff team. I know they've had a little bit more of a down year, but, you know, it's really cool for the front office to repay these guys. Like, hey, you helped us. I know that's just sometimes how it plays out. Maybe they don't try to do it, but I'm sure with the likable personalities, you probably want to help model a little bit more and send it to a better team if you can do that.
I don't know if that was a part of the equation. Honestly, I mean, like, even so, like, are you not going to make a trade that would really help out your team because you're not sending your player to a better team?
Like Andre Drummond going to Cleveland?
Exactly so, yeah. That is a great example.
Look, he went from Detroit to... Did he go... He started in Detroit, right? Yeah.
Detroit.
He went from Detroit to Cleveland. I don't know what's worse.
Oh, boy. I mean, like, Cleveland, what have they done without LeBron?
Right.
Like I think Zach Harper, the sports writer for The Athletic, has always says, like, the only thing the Cavaliers are good at is having the best player in the world be born, like, an hour away from there. That's the only thing they're good at.
That is true. That is very true. So now, let's get into it. Let's do it. The biggest trade of the day went to Timberwolves for acquiring D'Angelo Russell. Now, how they did it, they sent off Andrew Wiggins, and this is where I'm going to need your help, Mitch, because for those of you that don't know, Mitch and I have chatted for years and years and years, and we've always said that if we were to ever run the Timberwolves, he'd be the front office because he understands how the picks work, and I would be the coach since that's what my part-time job is. So help break it down a little bit.
Also money wise, because that's what my full time job is.
Yes, the accountant. So why don't you break down a little bit with the picks and what that means?
With D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, without sending Wiggins over there, and why they didn't want to initially bite with Golden State's first offer.
Why? I'm just seeing so many different reports of the picks, though. That's why I'm kind of confused. I'm looking at ESPN right now, and they're saying 2021 top three protected and 2021 second round pick, but I also heard it was the 2022 top three protected and then 2021 second round pick. Whatever it is, I think I think it's huge that we didn't have to give up this year's unprotected draft pick. That's what the Warriors really wanted from us, was our unprotected draft pick this year. Don't know if you guys are aware, we're pretty bad. Record's not the best. It's going to be a good draft pick. So we didn't want to get rid of that. I am a little concerned about giving up that first round draft pick, whether it's 2021 or 2022. I'm getting so many conflicting reports. But I think Woj kind of said 2022. So I'm going to just go off that it's 2022.
Sure.
That's potentially supposed to be the double draft, which I've talked about that last season, the double draft, basically meaning that they're going to have two draft classes in one because of the new rule change where high schoolers can go straight into the NBA. So that year you're going to have a class of high schoolers going straight into the NBA, but also 1 year college players that didn't have that opportunity to do that the year before. So had that draft taken place in 2018, the draft class would have been Luka Doncic, Trae Young, and also Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, etc. So that's why I'm a little concerned about that, because we could have a number five pick, but it would still be like kind of top three, because like it's in the double draft. It would be like top three in a normal draft. So I'm a little concerned by that, but luckily we have it top three protected if we get really lucky. And then the second round pick, it's a second round pick. I'm not going to go too much into that. I mean, obviously now they are more important with player development being taken more seriously in the NBA. But like I said, it's a second round pick.
Yeah, I really can only name off the top of my head the only successful, really successful second round pick being Draymond Green.
Jokic.
Oh, I did not know he was second round.
Isaiah Thomas.
He's little.
Nikola Pekovic.
Oh, God, the Peck. It's time for the Peckalator.
I think there's actually kind of quite a few, but
yeah.
It's still like takes development, takes time, and even then it's rolling the dice.
It's super slim, yeah. One, you need to have the right fit, the right system, all that kind of right stuff with it. But at the end, we got what we wanted. We got our guy. We got D'Angelo Russell.
And we got it without giving them what they wanted two first round picks in this, and we only had to give up one.
Which is exactly why Gersan Rosas is, this is why you brought him in, right? Because of the things that he, the deals that he made, the things that he did to get him here. That's incredible. I mean, I for sure thought, you and I talked, once we got that pick from Brooklyn, I thought, oh, well, we're going to have to give up our pick and Brooklyn's pick, and they'd be crazy not to take it, right? Because that was kind of the last ditch effort. When I saw what we gave up, I was like, wow, we didn't even have to give up our first round pick, which will probably be top five this year, and we could probably use it to deal, you know, to a team that probably, you know, was in our situation of they're looking to rebuild, but we just hit the switch on it. And not to give that up, and to give up Andrew Wiggins, who you and I have been wishy-washy on, sometimes a supporter, sometimes not a supporter.
I want to cheer for him.
I do too. And you know what?
This makes it so hard.
The one thing that people are going to do for sure, if he starts balling out for Golden State, they're going to be, oh, why didn't he do that here? Well, he probably did to a certain extent, but it's going to be a lot of the system and the guys that he's playing with. Because you're playing with one of the greatest point guards of all time and one of the greatest shooters of all, both of them, like two of the greatest shooters of all time. It's going to open up the floor for you to do a lot more stuff than the way our team was laid out. And that's, you know, that's just what it's going to be. And I wish seriously nothing but good things, success to go his way. Because, you know, when you're drafted here, it's not like it's your choice. You got drafted here. You know, he always didn't play great, but I didn't feel like he always was like, well, poor me. It was like, I just got to do better. And it sucks to see what he could have been. But you know what? I hope he just kills it over there. Because he had no, like, he just, I don't know. He just wasn't bad over here. He played bad, but he wasn't like a bad person or anything. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes it harder. It's like, I wish that every bad player was also just a bad person. yeah. just to make it easier, but they don't make it easy for us. But I mean, yeah, I did read an article in The Athletic, a report on why the Warriors were willing to give up D'Angelo Russell for this. It looks like a small fee for less than what they're asking for. It's a little concerning that the Warriors just wanted to get rid of D'Angelo Russell. Apparently they just really didn't like him. Part of the reason why, even the person writing the article was questioning kind of why, but one of the reasons why was like, he was not good off the ball. And when Steph and Klay come back, that's basically all he's going to be doing is being off the ball, which is, I hope that's the main reason why, because he's going to have the ball in his hands in Minnesota. Like, that's not going to be a concern at all. And also, but also everyone other than like that leak that I heard, everyone has been saying Minnesota has won this trade, and no one's been saying D'Angelo Russell's been horrible this year. Why would you? So it's, I don't think it's anything to actually be concerned about, but I'm just trying to give all sides of it, all opinions, so that you can form your own opinion about the entire situation. But also, you were mentioning how Rosas, how great he was at getting this trade for less than asking price. I also want to go back to the Robert Covington thing. He straight from the jump was saying 2 first round draft picks for Robert Covington. And a lot of people were like, I don't know if you'll be able to get that for Robert Covington. We kind of did with that. We kind of got like 2 first round draft picks, being the one that we have, Brooklyn's from Atlanta. But also there was the Houston Rockets first round draft pick that ended up going to Denver, that essentially we just said, like, how about instead of us keeping this, we'll send that to Denver for Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez and all those other people. So we just got the same value for another first round draft pick. So also big props to Rosas for getting what he demanded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, everything that he's done so far while he's been here has been just, I mean, people got to realize too, he's cleaning up a lot of Tibbs' mistakes. And I know we roast him all the time on here, but I don't think other than 2 people has it ever worked out for it. You're the president of basketball operations and the coach. That's Doc and Pop, 2 of the like greatest coaches of all time, like in a shell. And Tibbs, you know, that's a tough role to play to do both, especially when you already play favorites and all this, that, whatever, blah, blah. So for Gerson to come in here and just clean house, it's refreshing.
Also, a quick point. When Rosas got the job, like, all the contracts that were bad were like Tibbs' contract, trying to get rid of those. But just big props, again, props to Rosas for when he missed out on D'Angelo Russell, he didn't panic and start spending stupid money elsewhere like the Knicks tend to do all the time. Because, like, he just then signed contracts, which he just traded, which clearly shows that he signed very tradable contracts, which gives us more flexibility. Like, even if we missed out on our guy, we can get him 6 months later because we signed the right contracts.
Mm-hmm,
and we didn't put ourselves in a further hole.
So then, to recap the trade, we also were part of sending Gorgui Zhang to Memphis, and he gets to be reunited with his buddy Tyus. And in return, we got James Jones. It's a little interesting, but I do like the James Jones move. James Johnson. When as I kept saying,
it's a generic last name that's also alliteration with James.
It is. I was thinking of, and as I said it, the dude from Miami kept popping in my head, Cleveland. I was like, wait, that's not the guy. He's been retired. But no, James Johnson. I like the move because he's one of the points that John Krasinski brought up today on the radio was he's a rough rider. He's a tough guy. He's someone that's people aren't going to mess with. And that is something that this team has needed for a while. They need a guy like that. They need someone who can step in, not necessarily be a leader with their words, but their actions of like, I'm a dog. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, that could really do wonders for a guy like Towns and Russell. And you think to yourself, well, we had that Jimmy Butler. Kind of. Jimmy Butler was a star player who had a big ego, and I don't see James Johnson as having a big ego. He's a stretch four. He can shoot. He's got a nice low post game. He was really a good player for Miami, and again, an expiring contract, and you know, he's let's see what he can give us for the last part of the season. Maybe he'll be back on the team next year.
Yeah, and I think the main reason that we got him, I'm going to miss Gorgie.
Me too.
Loved him as a player, as a person. It's going to suck, but I do know that next year he's going to be close to $2 million less than Gorgie will be, which could come in handy when trying to re-sign Malik Beasley or Hernan Gomez, either of those. It could really come in handy just to have that one extra million that you can throw at them or two. But also, I think the main reason why we got him is we still have to play the 76ers again. And if Kat and Embiid get in a fight, I'm encouraging that, honestly, because I'm just going to read this right out of James Johnson's Wikipedia page, because it's a trusted source that we got us all through high school.
Oh, yeah.
Johnson holds a second degree black belt in karate and fought in his first mixed martial fought in his first mixed martial arts bout at age 18. He has an undefeated record in 7 MMA matches while also holding a 20-0 record in kickboxing matches.
What if he just head kicked Joel Embiid? That'd be the greatest thing ever.
Like, yeah, let's see Joel Embiid do that shadow boxing again with James Johnson there. Just kick him in the head.
Spinning back kick, looks like John Jones. Just boom.
Yeah, so like that's what I'm hoping for, to see him get put into action.
Oh man!
Like, how about this? How about all Tibor Sands? Like, hey, we'll pay your fine if you get in a fight with Joel Embiid. We'll pay your fine.
Let's start it right now. We'll
pay your fine and the money you miss by sitting out the games.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be awesome. Kind of going back to what we were talking about with the expiring contracts. You know, I think the only money on our books for next season, like, we're going to be in the luxury cap this year, or luxury tax this year, but I'm pretty sure the only real money that we're going to have coming off our books was from Kat, Indilo, Culver, Okogie, Layman. And you look at those contracts, right, and look at how many great deals we have on guys we talked about for the season, and I got to give you props for it. That Jake Layman is a steal. That's a steal of a contract.
Yeah, like, we forget that he's still here because he hasn't played in a while. And also, I got a report that he was doing some on-court practices with them. So, like, he's getting close to a return. Mm-hmm. And he was a very solid bench player for us. Like, it got to the point where people were, like, thinking shortly after his injury, like, when he comes back, he'll start for us. Like, it got to that point, he was doing so well. So,
and he's the lock on the team next year because we have him for, I think I saw 3 years, but he's only getting paid.
3 years.
Yeah, but he's only getting paid like one mil.
I think it was like more three-ish, but.
But that's so cheap for.
Oh, yeah.
For what they're paying these guys now, that's dirt cheap. And then you still got Culver on his rookie deal and Okogie. I don't know if he's restricted this year or not, but the point is basically just saying how much of a great job, again, our GM has done to get all these expiring contracts pretty much starting over new again next year.
Everybody, like, let's just not just put this on Rosas, but also Sachin Gupta. I know he's a guru with
the trade machine.
Yeah, exactly. He's a guru with the collective bargaining agreement. And honestly, like, the trade with Covington, that 4-team trade, that I think that was the most in the history of the NBA since like 2000, maybe. Like, people are saying it was a really complicated, complex trade that Minnesota was kind of in the center of navigating, because we have these people that can pull all of this stuff together, all these things that we don't understand and it hurts our brains to read about. They understand it perfectly and can just kind of facilitate these great trades.
I mean, to see what this front office is doing is awesome. And you know who deserves a little credit as well? Which is weird to say, because in years past, he really hasn't deserved much. But I'm going to give props to Glenn Taylor, because he had to dive into the luxury tax in order for this deal to work. So he should get some props, too. I heard this on Score North's interview with them, and he was talking about the guy that was hosting had mentioned, you know, Glenn, you get props for this, too. I give you credit, because you dove $2 million in. Now, $2 million to Glenn Taylor is probably not as much as, you know, to a lot of people. But that's a lot of money for him to be like, well, here we go. Should I make this deal? Should we not? Like, we haven't been good. but we got to keep our star happy. I mean, this should, if this doesn't do anything, like if this makes us bad for the rest of the year, whatever, you know, we have a rebuild next year, but this should just show Kat that this franchise and this team cares about you and your opinion and wants you happy. And we obviously want you to have success. So we're going to pair you with the best options that we can.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing is, like, when we made, we're so far behind that when we made this trade, we know we're not making the playoffs. At least I am fairly confident we aren't because of how far back we are at the moment. But even though Glenn Taylor knows he's not making that money back with playoff revenue, he still was willing to go into his pocket, which, again, it's not that much money to him as it is to us. But it's still nice that he was able to dig into his wallet just to get the player for the future, not even for now. But it's, I think what you really have to take a look at is the repeat offender of the going into the luxury tax, that because then that'll start really adding up because we are in it this year. Because I know like the Warriors would have to pay a bunch of like double digits millions because of the repeat. And that's why they made these trades. They made some trades with Milwaukee to be able to get below the luxury taxes because they've just been in it for so long that it's really started to accrue. And, you know, so I'm really curious to see if we're willing to continue to be in the luxury tax and let that penalty for the multiple years really starts piling up.
Yeah. So let's dive in. What does our starting five look like once we get everyone on the court?
It's a good question. Jordan McLaughlin, for
nice.
Sure. no.
I feel bad because I tweeted, I'm not kidding you, everyone can go check. I tweeted straight up, it's 10:45. Or actually, I think it was 11:45, whatever. It's 10:45 and our starting.
It was both. One for you, it was one for me, but yes, it was both.
And Jordan McLaughlin is still our starting point guard. And I feel bad for that. Because he seems like a nice guy. Seems like a good play. He's been good. But I feel bad for saying that.
I mean, do you really think that he's going to read that tweet?
He will, because I mean that much to him.
I bet. LeBron's going to tell him.
LeBron will tell him for us. Like, hey, you know, LeBron was talking about you the other day. I just want to let you know.
No, I mean, I kind of like him for what he... Like, he's a two-way contract guy. We're not supposed to start him.
No.
Like, I think he's a very solid two-way contract player. The problem is we've had so little, like, offensive success with Kat going down. We've had so many injuries that it's just like we kind of had to put him in a role that he really wasn't ready for. So, I mean, he can complain about it all he wants, but he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
I think maybe. He might not be, but.
Or at least a thousandaire, 100,000aire.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So here we go. I'll give you my starting five that I think. So I think it'll be D'Angelo at the one. Then you got, and this is all my opinion. Malik Beasley at the two. I think you put Okogie at the three, and then either James Johnson or Hernan Gomez at the four, Kat at the five. Once Jake Layman comes back, I think you could play him at the four, but we'll have to see. But that is the roster that's the team that I would throw out there. And the reason why is because you have all the offense you could want. You're going to need a defensive guy to get stops. And as much as I like Culver and he's continuing to grow, I trust J.O. playing defense on the best player of every team, which is normally the three spot. And he's a little undersized for it, but I think he'd do a decent job at it.
Yeah, it's tough. I think it's going to be changing throughout. I think Ryan Saunders is still going to figure it out, but I think it's going to be D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, like you said. And I want to say Culver. Like, that's my guess of what it's going to be. But I do think it should be Okogie for the points that you raised. Like, we already have offense, get the defensive guy in there. Mm-hmm. I think it's Hernan Gomez at the four over James Johnson. I don't have much second thought for that. And then Kat at the five. I think Cat will be the five. I think that's a safe bet.
I don't know. Nas Reed, man. He might make a...
Hey, man. Literally, every time Nas Reed like comes in or he hits a shot, I think of that Nas, like, I know I can be what I want to be. You know?
Oh, yeah.
The child singing. I didn't want to sing it because that's too far, but I know I could have done like New York State of Mind, but I like the child singing in my head. That was a creepy thing to say, but I said it.
I know I can't. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. But with Jake Layman coming back, I think that he will hopefully take that three position away from Okogie or Culver.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely going to take some time because he's been out for so long. He's got to get conditioned again. He's got to get that rust off.
The lobs that we're going to see from D'Lo to Jake Layman are going to be pretty nasty.
And a Cat. Like, that pick and roll game is going to be great because Wiggins never worked well with Cat. That was the annoying thing. We had our quote-unquote big two, but they were always, it always felt like they were kind of separate. They were doing their own thing. They never worked together.
Yeah, pretty much. And I feel like it's because both of them kind of came in at a weird point where Wiggins was always the one, the number one. Then Cat became the number one. Well, now it's tough because Andrew has to adjust his game to be a passer and drive and kick. And I thought he did a decent job of it this year, but he's not a point guard. And now you get a real point guard in there. The pick and roll game is going to be really, really good. You know, that's just going to be a way better fit.
Yeah, for sure. Wiggins was more of an ISO type of game anyways. It's like he couldn't really work with people or do the pick and roll. Like, he was good at attacking the basket, and sometimes that helped him out, but he wasn't really good at passing. I mean, he got better for sure, but I mean, I think D'Angelo Russell is already significantly better at the pick and roll. So it's going to be really fun to see those two buddies doing the pick and roll.
So the last two things that I want to bring up on the podcast here, we'll start with, we'll leave number two for the end just because that could spark a long debate, and I don't think it'll actually, I won't say I don't think it'll actually happen. I think it'll take a lot, but let's get to the draft lottery first. So here we are with our pick. I'm assuming that we're not going to try to tank with these new guys. We're going to try to win. So where we fall in the lottery is going to be still remain to see. Where we end up in the standings, do I think we're getting a playoff spot? Absolutely not. We would literally have to go like, we'd have to lose like four games for the rest of the year. That's not going to happen. So kind of where we're at in the draft lottery.
Oh, no, that will happen. We will lose four games and also another one and another one.
And another one and another one. But hopefully if we could just end up 500, I'll take that. I'll be happy with that. We kind of divide the season in two. But now without needing a guard, I mean, you and I were chatting the other day. You look at where we were sitting a couple of days ago. It was, okay, let's go get Cole Anthony. Let's go. We never said LaMelo Ball, but if he's there, they would probably explore that option. The point guards were our option. Now we have one. And now where do we go from here? Where do you think?
I don't, I like it. It honestly depends on like, cause I don't know how good we're going to be. I don't know how much this trade's going to really drop. Hopefully it goes down. Maybe it goes up. That would be concerning. So it's hard to say with this lottery format, but I think it's just all basically who's available. Two through four is what you should look at. I mean, if it's like a clear talent, like clearly the best player is a point guard, I think you could take him, develop him, then trade. Because that, like with the Timberwolves, what they're trying to do is just get assets. So at that point, you're just trying to get the best asset. But I am very happy that we don't have to get a point guard. Especially because, like, I was just listening to a podcast today, and they're saying how LaMelo is the best point guard in this draft class, which is terrifying to me because they were also saying how atrocious his defense is. And I also know how atrocious his jump shot is. It's awful. And, like, and it's bad. These things are bad in Australia. How bad are they going to be in the NBA? And it's just so, so annoying because, like, you heard it with Ricky Rubio. You got it with LaMelo Ball, or Lonzo Ball, I mean. Now I think we're getting it with a lot with Ben Simmons, where these point guards are coming in and they can't shoot, but they're like, oh, but look at all these other things that they're doing. They'll be able to shoot. Like, it's fine that they can't shoot. They can do all these other things. And then 4 years down the road, they're like, hey, these guys can't shoot. This is not acceptable. Like, we've been saying that.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel that with Ben Simmons now. Do you not? Like, people are talking about how bad his jump. Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, like, why aren't you talking about that other stuff like you were before? So I think that LaMelo is just going to be that. Like, people are just going to look at all these other things, and then down the line, they're going to realize that his poor jump shot actually is a huge problem.
I wonder if the 76ers realize the problem that they have is the problem that we just had, which is you're going to have to get rid of one, right? I'm sorry, I know this isn't a 76ers podcast. I hate that team. I mostly hate Joel Embiid, but just kind of thinking out loud, don't you think that they got to just get rid of one? Like, one of them has to go. They probably won't win a title together with that.
What do you mean one?
Between Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, I feel like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they got to move on from Ben Simmons, is honestly.
I remember seeing a trade that they was going to have like Ben Simmons for Robert Covington. I was like, I don't want Ben Simmons here. I'm sorry. We already have enough people on this team that can't shoot a three.
That was the other thing I was just going to say. Like, I was listening to another podcast. I'm not going to tell you because they're Timberwolves podcast, and you should be listening to us, not them.
Competition.
Exactly. But Doogie Wolfson was on there. And he was saying, like, maybe this draft, upcoming draft, we can flip D'Angelo Russell for Ben Simmons. Like, no, why would we go back to a point guard that can't shoot in this system where we're trying to shoot? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I feel like Ben Simmons still kind of has that hype up. And like I said, he's kind of being brought down with his poor shooting. I think he's just going to keep coming down. I think that stock won't be going up, and like eventually people will be like, nah, let's not do that.
That'd be a bad idea.
But we were talking about the draft. Back to the draft. I'm really, like I said, I'm happy we don't have to pick a point guard because LaMelo being the top one. Not too confident in Cole Anthony just because of how much time he's missed. That's about it. Mm-hmm. But also, we always hear the position that takes the longest to develop is point guard. And when we have Cat, like, our timeline's ticking down. Like, we don't want somebody that has to take a while to develop. So it's exciting that we now have our point guard so we can draft a position that won't take so long to develop. So that hopefully it's just like a plug and play type thing. Just like draft you, throw you in. 2 years, 3 years, you'll probably hopefully figure it out more than if we had drafted a point guard and could contribute more.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the same path that I was thinking too, because it's not a secret. This draft class is not very good. The next year's is supposed to be very good. And you're just kind of sitting at, well, what do we do with this pick? Here is where I was going to get to the point two. If I am Devin Booker and I just saw what the Timberwolves did to make sure that they got D'Lo here, I myself would be pretty pissed. And here's why. Phoenix, although they've been on a big uptick, they didn't do anything to get them any sort of talent. That doesn't mean they couldn't or they didn't explore. Maybe they just have the assets, the picks, whatever. But Devin Booker's probably sitting there like, well, Cat asked for this and they tried to make it happen. I can only imagine the haul that we would have to give up. But if that pick is top three, I don't think Phoenix would take that. But, I mean, what would you think? If you're the Phoenix Suns, what would it take for you to get Devin Booker off your team?
Oh, that's not happening now. He has too much time on his contract, I think. I think he's just at an untouchable phase right now, which is why I was texting you earlier. I think the real goal is to really develop Michael Beasley, get him good, and then develop him into a piece where that can be like the cornerstone of the trade would be Malik Beasley and some picks or something for Devin Booker. So that's what I'm more expecting down the line. I don't think it's going to be a quick turnaround because, like I said, Devin Booker's under contract. Like, I mean, everyone was still saying Cat's going to stay for at least a few more years. Like, we're not trading him. So I think Devin Booker's in the same exact position with the Suns.
One, you know, with Cat, it could be the same situation as it was for Wade, right? Like, they came to him. Like, they all went to South Beach. Now that's South Beach. It's nice there year round. But if we can make Carl happy here, he wants to stay here. And D'Angelo wants to stay here. Like, they've had success in the playoffs. They just need missing one piece, but they have everything else around. Boom. There it is. There is the Devin Booker piece that falls. But I feel like they have to be a little bit successful first, because if they just kind of are at the bottom of the tier again over and over, they're both going to get frustrated. And they're going to be like, well, you know, and granted, if it's our fault or not, they're still going to get frustrated and be like, well, we need to go somewhere where we're going to win and be successful, like LA, only because it can attract free agents, stuff like that. But I agree with you that I think it's going to be a little bit further down the line. But the fact that we can have that conversation is really exciting.
Very exciting. Like, I was seeing a bunch of like memes and stuff about how Devin Booker is kind of just waiting on the sideline watching all of what's happening in Minnesota going down. Like, one was, you know, the meme with Patrick and SpongeBob gleefully running while Squidward's in his house, like looking down at them. Like, I just saw that one. That's basically
that's
Devin
one.
Booker's all sad. Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think it will become a factor in a few years, especially with how Rosas has proven to be aggressive. I think it definitely will be. But that's the thing, though. Like, if we get D'Angelo Russell and Kat and they start getting frustrated, and if we ended up with Booker too, we can add him in there. If he's not, I'm still saying the same thing for both. But, like, you're our centerpieces, and if we're not winning, how mad can you get at us? Like, honestly.
Yeah, the one thing that you can't do if you're Kat now, and our producer Lee has talked about this a lot.
Shout out to Lee.
Is he needs to now? Kat can't be pouting. He can't be upset. We just made a move for him that shows him what we want from him. And if you watched the Atlanta game, that probably was the worst Timberwolves game I've ever seen. I had to shut it off. I was just following it on Twitter. Even when they were on the comeback, I could care less. And it's because I watched the effort of Kat. He looked like he didn't want to be there. John Krasinski said that's one of the worst Timberwolves games he's seen in a really long time. All year, like all season. And they've lost some, sure, but he had no effort. He could have cared less to be out there. There were times he barely made it up half court. And that's frustrating and pouty behavior. And it's like, all right, now, you got your guy that you wanted. You got to step up and be a leader. Can't just sit there and, oh, woe is me. No, you have to step up and be a leader now that this franchise needs you to be. Kevin Garnett wasn't, oh, poor me. He stepped up and he was a dog.
I mean, I have points I can make on that, but, like, I want to keep this happy. I've been annoyed by that, too. Like, I know against the Clippers, Kat had dunked on, I think, Zubac, and then he started flexing on them. And then Patrick Beverley noticed and pushed the ball up, and like they scored easily because Kat didn't get back quick enough because he was too busy flexing because he dunked it. He just does a bunch of dumb, stupid things that, like, it's annoying that the coaches aren't just yelling at him. Like, why are you flexing? You're doing your job.
Yeah.
I don't start flexing when the debits equal the credits. Like, that's weird. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. So. Nice accounting thing there.
I don't know what it meant, but it sounded smart.
Whatever that was.
The debits. Just kidding. I'm not going to. That's the worst.
Well, we'll wrap it up here with the Wolfcast podcast. D'Angelo Russell is a Timberwolf. We'll be back next week to break down the set of games and how he played and kind of what...
how our new team played. That's the other thing. I know you're wrapping up. Quick point. Even if we completely, like, bomb again the second half of the season, at least it's with, like, a new team where, like, we're at least interested for the first half of it. At least it sparked our interest for a little bit. At the very least...
there was a while we were texting back and forth of like, man, what do we talk about on the podcast? It's just going to be dry just because there was nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like, we lost again.
Join us next week because...
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Join us next week so we can let you know we lost again.
How do they lose this time? And so on and so forth. So this is exciting. Next or tomorrow, actually, if you're listening to this, this is on Thursday, February 6th. There will be a introductory press conference with all the new players on Friday, February 7th at noon or 12:30. So be sure you tune into that. That'll be exciting to see. Again, it kind of gets behind the scenes process of everything. It's going to be a big deal.
Process of everything.
Yes, the process of everything. This is the biggest trade that's gone our way in Minnesota to roll its history.
Butler was pretty big.
Yeah, but
this, I know it's a dark time, but
yeah, I feel like this is different only because, well, yeah, one of them. Let's say one of them, because we normally are on the bad ends of these trades.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like it feels better doing this to the Warriors than the Bulls. Like, I feel like you could dupe the Bulls, but doing it to the Warriors, which
it's even better, icing on the cake. They think they're getting an all-star in Andrew Wiggins. We know what they're getting.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, the verdict's still out. They could end up winning this, but, like, as of right now, the experts and us are saying that we won this one, so
they're getting a mediocre Harrison Barnes, and that's saying.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it. I'm your host, Matt Lee. Mitch Dibbing, we're signing off.
Bye, guys.